If you will turn to Psalm 81, the 81st Psalm. And verse 10. I am the Lord thy God, who brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. As you know, the week before, we had a, I suppose in all, about 10 days of waiting upon the Lord and of seeking the Lord's face. And this was one of the important parts of the word that the Lord gave to us right at the beginning, and which went right through that time along with a number of other scriptures from Exodus 15 and from Deuteronomy 8 and Ezekiel 37. Now, for those of you who have not been in those times, what I have to say on this may not mean so much to you, although what we have to say about the verse, I trust, will. I think most of us who've been in those times of prayer must feel that they ended in a rather inconclusive way. I'm sure most of us, if not all of us, have a feeling that there wasn't really a conclusion. We didn't feel as though we came. We had promises from the Lord. We got some light upon certain things, sort of ways perhaps that the Lord wants to take. But I think we must feel that there is something inconclusive about it. I certainly had that feeling. And I feel that this matter about the hearing of the Lord's voice is something we need, above everything else, to take seriously at this time. The reason is that we are growing in number, and this is just where the great danger comes. It is so easy to trundle on like a machine. After a while, you can keep a meeting going. You can keep a meeting even going at a kind of great level without really hearing the Lord. Indeed, it is amazing how when the Lord says specific things, people don't even take them in. And the very people who are concerned about getting somewhere start to say things which the Lord has not said. And we turn the words of the Lord. If the Lord says, I will do this, we make him say, I have done it. Or if the Lord says, I have done it, we make him say, I will do it. If the Lord puts an if in it, we take the if out. And if the Lord doesn't put an if in, we put an if in. Dangerous. Dangerous. And as we get larger in number, this danger is a danger which we're going to have to watch and watch and watch. Those of us with responsibility, we're becoming more and more busy. I remember years ago in Alan Redpath's study, he used to have a great piece of oak over the mantelpiece with beware of the barrenness of a busy life. And I think that as we get more and more busy and have more and more to do and seemingly more and more to do in less and less time, for those of us who are responsible, there is the great danger that we don't listen. Also added to it, there is the problem often of middle age and old age. The fact is that we have to face it. People think they know something when they've begun to reach those ages. They feel they've got a wealth of sort of experience behind them, of understanding. They can talk about this and this and that and that. The Lord showed them this. They understood that, and it goes back quite a few years. And there's all the danger that we have this awful attitude, I know it all. Even worse, we know it all. We know it all. And start to give that impression that we are something, and that we can put you right, sort of thing. Come here, and if you won't have to sit long in one of the meetings before you get put right. What a dreadful attitude, really. And it's a good thing if we begin to see the frailty and weakness of one another, and above all of ourselves. Of course, we all start with one another. We see very clearly the frailty and weakness in one another, and it takes the Lord a long time before he can get it to ourselves to see that it is ourselves, and that we need to be honest. And one of the great problems is this: we use we when we shouldn't use we, and we use I when we should use we. Here's the same old problem all over again. People sort of say, oh, we're all dry, we're all dead. They don't mean that. If only they would say, I'm dry, I'm dead, then the Lord would say, yes, and I'll do something about it. But it's a lie to say that we're all dry, we're all dead. You get this kind of thing as well so often. We need deliverance from this kind of thing. The point is, it's natural. We don't want to all become interns so that we're watching every phrase we use and every word that we utter. But there does also, we need to be careful that language doesn't just flow out of us without meaning, so that we're not really thinking about what we're saying. Now, the Lord gave us this word. And as I say, after last Tuesday evening, it appeared to be a somewhat inconclusive end to that week, and yet we had some promises. I didn't feel any freedom to say, well, we're going to go on in prayer, and I understand that was shared by a number of others, and yet, as I say, we didn't feel we'd got there. Now, I have been given for some years a calendar which has adorned my bedroom wall by different saints. And it's always been good, a Keswick calendar, or one of those others, which is just a scripture, which I like best. And often the Lord has used it. And no one gave me a calendar this year. And I was very sorry for myself. Now, I don't want to receive 50 calendars next year. But, because I know this kind of thing happens, but I didn't receive one, so I went down to the Christian bookshop and asked Miss Woodford there, and she said, well, they'd all gone, but she thought there was one, and she fished out one, and I said, well, I'll have that, and I parted with my money, and I took the calendar. Oh, how much I regretted it. It was what I call a typical evangelical-type calendar, a great blurb. In bold type here, and then a little tiny word of scripture in light type in the corner. So that the thing that hits you is what someone says. And quite honestly, for the first week or two, what they said, I couldn't think why it was so worthy of being printed. Now, maybe that's being very critical and unkind, but I couldn't see a thing, and I felt so depressed. Believe it or believe it not. On Wednesday morning, when I tore off the calendar, here it is, I am the Lord thy God that brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Now, if it had just said, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it, I would have thought, oh, well, of course, they've just got one of these little, nice little words. But you remember, one of the things that struck us was, I am the Lord thy God that brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. I was encouraged last night to hear that someone else had also been given one of those scriptures only yesterday, which the Lord had given to us, or given to someone who'd been and spoken with me. It's in Hosea 6, and it is verse 3. And then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is sure as the dawn. And he will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that watereth the earth. Now, that was one of the words given to someone in the company, and I was very encouraged that the Lord had reconfirmed his word after the end of that time. And also a remarkable word in Job 29, which was given to Eric last night in prayer, when we were seeking the Lord's face. Here it is, verse 23, and they waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouth wide as for the latter rain. What an extraordinary verse. I never knew it existed. And they opened their mouth wide as for the latter rain. Of course, it's a picture of the birds in a time of dryness and drought. When water comes in Israel, Middle Eastern countries, you see all the birds there with their mouths wide open, rather like we say a duck in a thunderstorm. Well, now coming back to Psalm 81, What then? We have here, I think, something for our encouragement. The Lord has not forsaken us in spite of our foolishness and heedlessness and dullness of hearing. But, oh, if we would only take seriously this word about hearing. And those who perhaps are not taking it too seriously, who think they know it, are the people who need to take it the most seriously. That is, if I may say so, those of us who are older in the Lord and those of us who are the most responsible. We need to take very, very seriously this matter about hearing the Lord's voice. Now, what really does this verse mean? I am the Lord thy God that brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. I think there are one or two things we can say first, straight away. Obviously, this opening our mouth wide and it being filled is not firstly to do with speaking. Firstly. It is evidently something to do with the whole purpose of God to get us out of this world and to sever the links between us and the power of darkness. In other words, to make us a people for his own namesake. It is therefore something to do with dependence upon the Lord. Now there are two things here I think that we need to underline. First of all, when the Lord gave them the Passover lamb, the sacrifice of that lamb was sufficient not only to sever the link between them and Pharaoh, to sever the link between them and the powers of darkness, and to get them out of the sphere of Egypt, across the Red Sea, but was sufficient to get them right through the wilderness, across the Jordan, and into the Promised Land. You will remember that when they had gone right the way through the wilderness after 40 years and crossed the River Jordan, they sat down at Gilgal and kept the Passover. In other words, there was a correspondence between the first Passover and that Passover in the matter of getting out of Egypt and into the Promised Land. If the children of Israel had only obeyed the Lord, it would have taken them less than 14 days to do the journey. And they would have gone into the land, and the Passover lamb would have been sufficient to get them out of Egypt, through the wilderness, and into the Promised Land. If they'd only heard the voice of the Lord. If they'd only listened to his voice. Now, I think that that is a very important point for all of us. What does the Lord mean by open thy mouth wide and I will fill it? He means that he has much for us. It's not just a matter of salvation. It's more, it's a matter of abundant life. It's more than a matter of abundant life. It's a matter of all the excellences of our God. We'll look at that in just a moment. But the point is that every single thing is of God. That's the point. Every single thing is of God. Nothing finds its origin in our flesh, in ourselves, or in Egypt. The whole thing is severed. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. They'd eaten much bread in Egypt, but when they went into the wilderness, they were fed from heaven. Every day except for the Sabbath, there came down that manna. It was still food, but it came by the word of God, and that's the point. Came by the word of God. It was dependence upon the Lord. They didn't draw up water from a well, as in Egypt, or sort of paddle it up with hard work. The rock was touched in the name of God, and water flowed out of it. Wherever they went, that water followed them. It was a continuous miracle, again and again and again. What was the key to it? It was all of God, all of God. It was water which God was producing by the word of God and faith in the word of God. Again, their guidance was all of God. They didn't have great committee meetings and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and then take a vote and then decide, should we go this way, should we go that way? The only time they did that, they made a mistake. They should have gone over into the land and taken it. They took a vote and went the other way. And that started the whole problem. The fact of the matter was, every time they were in trouble, Moses and Aaron fell flat on their faces. I used to think when I was a boy, that was the most extraordinary way to lead a people I'd ever heard of. I used to think, I don't understand it. When they've got any trouble, there's Moses flat on his face before the Lord. He knows what he should do. The Lord's already told him. He's given him the law. He's only got to read what God has given him. Ah, that's where many a Christian makes a great mistake. They think because they have the word of God, they can just apply it. Just like that. Moses and Aaron had a secret that many a Christian has not found, not discovered. And that is that you cannot just apply the word of God. You've got to do it in dependence upon the Lord. So every time a problem came up, these two fell flat on their face before the Lord and said, what shall we do? And the Lord showed them what they should do. That is the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. In other words, all their guidance, all their direction was of God. It was all of God. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. The government in your life, all of myself. The direction in your life, all of myself. The provision for living in your life, all of myself. Open your mouth wide. And I will fill it, says the Lord. I think this is the lesson of the wilderness. Now, it was the sacrifice of the lamb that was sufficient to cover their sin, to cover all their iniquity if it was confessed. Once it was confessed, it was sufficient for that sin and that iniquity to be covered and put away. God could remain in their midst. And perhaps the most remarkable thing of all is when someone hired Balaam to curse the people of God. When he saw them, he tried to curse them and instead he blessed them. And he utters those amazing words, I see no iniquity in Jacob. Now, they weren't his words. They were the Lord's words in his mouth. The Lord says, I see no iniquity. If ever there was a people in whom there was iniquity, it was that crowd in the wilderness. But hear God's voice. So great is the sacrifice of the Lamb. So powerful the blood of the Lamb. So immense what God has done through the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ that once sin is confessed, God sees us in his Son. Now, I think, again, all that is important for us to understand in connection with this promise. I am the Lord thy God who brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Why did he bring them up out of the land of Egypt? Hear again what God said to Moses, told Moses to tell Pharaoh. Let my people go that they may serve me. Let my people go that they may serve me. My firstborn, God spoke, of the whole nation, 600,000 souls. My son, my firstborn, let him go that he may serve me. So the objective of getting them out of Egypt was that they might serve the Lord, that they might be the firstborn son of God, that they might be, as it were, in a special relationship to God. And he puts it in another place. Moses says, and the Lord did this. He chose you from among the peoples of the earth that you might be a kingdom of priests unto himself. In other words, this whole people should stand in a position between God and the world. Kings and priests. Ruling for God, reigning for God, getting things done for God, and interceding, standing between a fallen world and God. Oh, how they failed in this purpose of God. Now, I think all that is helpful for us if we are to understand what the Lord means. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. It's not just that we might have joy. I mean, it's important that we should know joy. It's our birthright, it's our inheritance. It's not just that we should have peace. It's important that we should have peace. It's our birthright, it's our inheritance. It's not just that we might have abundant life. It's important that we should have abundant life. It's our birthright, it's our inheritance. The Lord Jesus won for it. But all these things are for a purpose. That they are that we might serve the Lord. They are that we might occupy a marvelous position by the grace of God. That we might reign for God. take things for God, execute the will of God, get things done in the name of God, that we might, as it were, stand as an interceding people between this fallen world and God, representing God to the people and the people to God. What a position. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. The Lord says this. Now here we've got it. Here's the problem. What is Egypt? What is Egypt? Well, if you turn to Numbers 11, open thy mouth wide and I will. You can't. If you can't have the Lord fill your mouth if all the time you've got things in it. Or if you're longing for other things. Now, this is how they put it I can't just find it. Just wait. Oh, here we are. So sorry. Numbers 11, verse 5. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt for naught. The cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. That's the trouble with some of us. Cucumbers. Melons. Or pips. Leeks, onions, garlic. And that's the trouble with so many of God's people. It's Egypt that's in them. That's the problem. Egypt's in their mouth. Egypt is in their desires. Underneath a Christian exterior, it's all Egypt. So that every given opportunity, they're complaining, they're murmuring. They don't always say outwardly about the Lord. It's about people. It's about people all the time. They go, but really, their argument is with the Lord. Oh, what a problem this whole thing is. What does it stand for, all these things? Surely it speaks of the world. Now, the world is not only things, the world is a spirit. And that is our whole problem, isn't it? Our own resources. How can the Lord fill us if we are full of our own resources? If we are completely based upon our own resources? The Lord can't do it. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Our natural strength, our natural resources, our natural talents. It's not that God cannot use it, but he has to break it. And we are not often prepared for God to break all that. And that is Egypt. And we bring that out with us. And therefore, when we begin to think of the will of God, we think, oh, it was much better to eat the fish for which was free in Egypt. Much better to have the meat that we had in Egypt. The leeks, the cucumbers, the melons, the onions, the garlic. We long. They forgot about the hardness of Egypt. They forgot about the affliction of Egypt. They forgot about all that side of it. All the hardship and suffering. All that had gone. Now they only thought of this side. How deceitful this Egyptian nature is that's in us. How deceitful. And what a problem it is, both in fellowship and personally. We long often for that. I am the Lord thy God that brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. We need to be given grace to close the door on what God has closed the door. If God has shut the door on Egypt, let us shut the door on Egypt. It's not only a question of natural resources, that's the deepest level. It's much more. Surely it's a question of all kinds of realms in which how the Lord cannot meet us often because there are issues in our lives which are not settled. Sometimes, for instance, we've got relationships. Girl, boy, boy, girl. They are with people in Egypt. And because of that very thing, God cannot get his way in our lives. We are not prepared to close the door on that. We are not prepared to obey the word of God, not to be unequally yoked together. And therefore we have the problem immediately. It's raised instantly. Now we've got to be careful of friendships. Things that begin so simply, but go along, and before we know where we are, It's back to Egypt. We're in the wilderness, we're out of Egypt, but we're really in Egypt. Egypt is in us. Although we've got out of Egypt, sometimes it's the things of the world. Now, I'm not saying anything about the things of the world because it's a vexed and difficult, complex problem. But this I will say, it is a question of priorities. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods but me. When a person puts the cinema in place of the prayer meeting, it's an idol. When someone puts television in place of the Bible study, it's an idol. When someone puts sport in place of witnessing for Christ and outreach, it's an idol. As soon as something dislodges God from his position in our lives, that moment it's idolatry. We are bowing down before something else which has the priority. Oh, I couldn't give that up. I couldn't give that up. That friendship, that pleasure, that amusement, or whatever it is, I couldn't give that up. Now, you know, I'm not attacking these things. They may have their place under the government of God. But let us be quite clear on this thing. If any of us think that we can put the things of the world in the place of God and make them give them priority, we are idolaters and adulterers. The Word of God says, know ye not that the friendship of the world is adultery? Says James. This question of idolatry is as old as the hills. Any single thing that comes in the place of God in my life and to which I give priority, that thing of necessity will stop me from receiving. The Lord can say again and again and again, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. How can we receive if there's idolatry in our lives? The condition is this, I am the Lord thy God who brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. It's not that God wants to make us miserable, narrow, dark people. Not at all. But God has a purpose. Sometimes we get saved and sometimes we do give the Lord a certain amount of priority, but we are not prepared to be built together with the people of God, and that becomes a sin. We think it's perfectly and quite enough to be a Christian and to have one's own little life with God. It is not enough. I say it again, it is not enough. It says in one of the Psalms, God hath put the solitary in families. But what is the good of being in a family if you're not prepared to accept the discipline of the family or be built together with the family? If you're going to take all and give nought. But many people use the church as a kind of social club where they can just get a bit of friendship and a bit of help. But they're not prepared to be built together. They're not prepared to lay down their lives for the whole. They're not prepared to go through death and into resurrection. They're not prepared for the Spirit of God to come upon them so that they may be enabled to die. I am the Lord thy God who brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. What a wonderful promise it is when we look at the promise. I will fill it. What will he fill us with? I think there are a whole number of things we could say. The excellencies of the Lord our God. Think of that. That's 2 Peter and chapter 2 and verse, I think it is 10. The excellencies of the Lord our God, that ye may show forth the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What a lovely thing that is. If someone were to see in our office the excellencies of the Lord in us, there might be someone saved there. If someone in our school were to see the excellencies of the Lord in us, oh, if we were to see the excellencies of the Lord in one another. Why be afraid of being filled if it means the excellencies of the Lord, that ye may show forth the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light? There is nothing more beautiful than Christ, than the nature of Christ. And in some ways, there is nothing more beautiful than the nature of Christ in a saved sinner. That is superlative grace. And what about treasure? Treasure in earthen vessels, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, I think it is. Treasure, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the exceeding greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. I will fill you what with? Treasure. The unsearchable riches of Christ. Sometimes the vessel must be rent that the treasure may be seen, but the treasure's there. Or fullness. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form, and in him ye are made full. What a wonderful word. Made full, I will fill you, what with? With the fullness of myself. Oh, there are so many other things. I think of gifts. It says that we should seek earnestly the higher gifts. And I can't understand people who have any problem about the matter. Seek earnestly the higher gifts. The Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit has been given for the profit of all. It's all gifts of Christ. Manifested by the Spirit. I will fill it. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Now that, I think, brings us to this, that it is by the Spirit of God alone that we can be filled. There's no other way than by the ministry of the Holy Spirit to be filled with the excellencies of our God, with the treasure of the Lord, with the abundant life of Christ. Life more abundant, with the power, the exceeding greatness of his power, with this fullness, with these gifts, the only way. And so we have to come to the command, open thy mouth wide. Open thy mouth wide. Evidently then there is something we have to do. God, although he is the one who got us out of the land of Egypt and made the basis upon which he can get us not only out of the land of Egypt, but into the promised land, into our inheritance. In spite of all that, we can't just say, the Lord is Lord, he'll do it, he'll do it. No, the Lord says something. Open thy mouth wide. There is something for us to do. You can't open your mouth wide if it's full. Although some have a good try. But you can't open your mouth wide to receive if it's full. So there must be an emptiness. Now there is no other way to receive all that God has for you. If you are full of yourself, even full of scriptural ideas. Some people are so full of scriptural ideas, they're like tape recorders. You only accidentally depress the button and whoo, you get it for hours. It's all there. But they are full of scriptural ideas, not full of the Lord. The tragedy of it. Not full of life. They're full of definitions. Oh, the Lord says, I will fill it. Open thy mouth wide. It must be empty. Oh, if only we were prepared to be humble enough. Just humble enough. There is another point here, and of course it's obvious. Openness. Some Christians seem to get a kind of clamp jaw when it comes to anything like this. They get a lock jaw, kind of. They can't do it. As if they're frightened to death that if they open their mouth wide, the devil will get in first. But never. If God says, open thy mouth wide, God means open thy mouth wide, and God has undertaken responsibility to guard you. You will never, ever be in trouble by being obedient to the Lord. But believe me, all these other diplomatic, political reasons and other things that come into our heads, oh, we get right into the enemy's claws. Right there, when we listen to him. If God says something, do it. Remember the words of Mary when she got a very severe rebuke from her son. She said to the servants, whatsoever he saith to you, do it. Receive, then. Well, I can only say that I believe that the Lord means something here. He doesn't just give us a word and play with us. He doesn't mock us. He means something. So now we'll bow together in quietness, shall we? And we'll ask the Lord. And what I would like to do is simply this. I'd like to say, anyone here this morning, you know that you need something of God. You need the Lord to come in a new way. I'm going to ask you in the quietness, whilst our head is bowed, just to stand up. If you're sure that the Lord, you know that the God has been speaking to you in these days. Now, this doesn't mean that you're going to, but we can pray. It's in one sense, humbling yourself before the church and in the eyes of God, just to say, well, Lord, I'm in need. I need more of you. I need you to fill me. Now, as we're bowing in prayer, if you'd like to quietly stand. Be afraid, just stand up. Maybe there are others. We'll wait a moment longer if there are others who want to just. It's God who sees, it's not. I'm the only one with my eyes open. But it's God who sees you, and that's the thing that matters. Now, remain standing and we'll ask the Lord. Now, Lord, thou hast spoken to us about opening our mouths wide. And that thou wilt fill. Lord, thou seest all who've stood up in thy presence this morning. We pray for every single one. Lord, thou knowest the need of each life. O Lord, by thy Spirit come in fullness and come in power. And grant, Lord, that all here this morning who have signified this sense of need in their life may know a marvelous coming in of thy Holy Spirit. Thou hast said, I am the Lord thy God who brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. Where there is sin, Lord, wilt thou help us to confess it? Where there are issues, Lord, in our lives that have not been settled, give the grace, Lord, now, this morning, to settle those issues in a new way and to move out with thyself. Where, Lord, there's been some bondage which has stopped us, Lord, perhaps some fear, some inhibition, Lord, that stopped us really moving in a new way into thy power and fullness, Lord, wilt thou grant this morning that shall be broken. We break it, that fear, that bondage, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So now, Lord, we commit ourselves to thee. Fill us with thyself. O Holy Spirit, come and fill all these empty vessels, we pray, that there may be glory to thyself. We ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.